Our meditation today is in Psalm 140. Let's turn there with me as we look at this Psalm of David. It is dedicated to or noted to be for the use of the chief musician. The Holy Spirit moved David to write, "Deliver me, O Jehovah, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips." Selah. "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me." Selah. "I said to the Lord, 'You are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord.' O Jehovah Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted." Selah. "As for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence." We're nearing the end of the book of Psalms. In some few weeks, we'll be starting back up again. And soon we will be, sooner than that, we will be getting into another set of Hallel Psalms, of praise Psalms, where we see praise the Lord, or Hallelujah. But just now we see this written by David, written ultimately by the Spirit of God, when David was in some sort of trouble. His life, of course, was full of it. I just quoted when we were soliciting prayer from Psalm 34:19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." David knew what he was talking about. But he also knew the second part very well too. "But the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And that is exactly what David is talking about here. His life is full of affliction from the wicked, and he is praying for deliverance, trusting that Jehovah will bring about the promised deliverance. Now, the first thing we need to note is this. He is not crying out to God, to Elohim. He is crying out almost always here to Jehovah, to the covenant God, the one who already, back in the time of Adam and Eve, had made covenant promises of salvation by one to come. This had been made fuller in the time of Noah, fuller still in the time of Abraham, more so still in Moses' day, and then more fully yet to David himself. But though he had these promises, he had these enemies all about. We see here a progression too as he calls on Jehovah to rescue him. Jehovah, who has said to him through his forefather Abraham, "I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee." We see first of all in verse 2 that they are planning and plotting. They have schemes in their minds and in their hearts. These work out to slanderous and libelous words, where they try to make David look evil, and you know that happened during the time of Saul, where David was maligned and spoken evil of, and you know, Saul took those up quite happily. And then it goes into action. They purpose to make my feet and my steps stumble, he says in verse 4. They have hidden a snare for me and cords. They've spread a net by the wayside. They've set traps for me. You see, once they've decided to plot and scheme, then their words come out to lay kind of a basis for the persecution. People will not go after a good and godly person, but if you can malign them, if you can slander them, if you can make them to look evil in others' eyes, how much easier it is to justify persecution to yourself and to others. And then they put things into action. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart come wicked deeds. Jesus pointed this out time and again. However, though David sees all this, he does not despair. What he does is go to God. We see that then in verses 6 through 8. As he calls upon Jehovah to look, as he calls upon Jehovah to consider, and he calls upon Jehovah to act. He does this knowing the character of his God. And he does this knowing how God in the past has acted. Look, for example, at verse 7. He first looks at how God is, the character of the Lord whom he knows. Oh, Jehovah the Lord. You see God there all in caps? Really, that's not what that is Jehovah back of there in the Hebrew. The strength of my salvation. See, that's who he is and how he is. That is his holy covenantal character. You have covered my head in the day of battle. He is at present that faithful God. He is at present that holy God. He is at present that covenant God who has chosen David, who has loved David from eternity, and who will give his son for him. And then David looks at the past as well, what God has done. You've covered my head in a day of battle. This isn't like, you put a hat on me. It's more like a helmet or a shield placed overhead by God, protecting him when fiery arrows were raining down, when great stones were pelting round about. He was covered by covenant love, covered, protected by his shield. The one of whom we also sing in Psalm 84. Look thou, O God, upon our shield, the face of thine anointed, thy Messiah, thy Christ, see. And in contrast, and we have these words, Selah, in there, which we've explained before. It's a place to pause and prayerfully consider. He then contrasts how his head is with the head of these wicked ones. In verse 7, you've covered my head in the day of battle. Verse 9, as for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. David calls for judgment upon them, of course, with the understanding that if they repent, why, we would love to see that, and we would love to see God bringing them to godliness and to establish them. As long as they proceed in this wicked course, it is faithfulness in David to pray for their destruction. After doing so, he declares his confidence in verses 12 and 13. I know that the Lord, that Jehovah, will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Now, a good question to ask right here is this. How can David be so confident? And how, when we read this and apply it in our own hearts, or we sing it back to God, how can we have this confidence? It's not merely because, although what I'm about to say is true, it is not merely because God was faithful to David. There's a reason God was faithful to David. There is a reason that there is covenant mercy for David and every believer. It is because Jesus Christ endured all this. This is a prayer ultimately not of David, but of Jesus. It is against him that plotters have plotted. It is against him that slanderers have slandered. It is against him that traps were laid and traps were sprung, and they thought they had him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees together in council in Sanhedrin, they got Herod into a corner. They got Pilate into a corner. They got their way, and Satan behind them thought he'd won. But our Lord Jesus is the one who triumphed. Our Lord Jesus is the one who has gone through all this without sin and died at the cross to pay for the penalty of sin for his people. It is he who went through all this in order that we would be delivered from all this. He was delivered, raised on the third day. It is because he is now risen, he is now ascended, he is now not only the prophet and priest, but king of all providence, that he works out all things for his people. You see, left to ourselves as sinners, we have nothing to cry out for. We can only expect the same destruction that is called upon for the wicked here, because we are wicked too. But in Jesus, being found in Jesus, we can, like David, who was in Jesus, in confidence cry out when, not if, when we have affliction from the wicked. It's here already. It's really quite frequent for believers all across the world, and it has been through all time. But we can call upon God to deliver us. We can call upon God to bring us to justice. We can call upon God to do what is right and overthrow the wicked, knowing that in his good time he shall do so. When we read of persecution, maybe you just heard about the latest Mohammedan bombing of a church, this time in Pakistan. When we hear of these sorts of things and other wickednesses happening, and not just from Mohammedans, there are all kinds of people who are trying to say, you can see it all over Twitter, you can see it all over Facebook, you can see it all over social media of all sorts. The vitriol, the acid, the fire, the hatred against God, against his Christ, against his people, against his word. You can see that all over. Their minds are plotting. Their words are slandering. They are seeking to lay a snare before us and destroy us all. We shall have deliverance in the right time, in the right way, because God, the triune God, has brought us ultimate deliverance in and through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's sing from Psalm 140 now. We're going to sing Psalm 140a. As you sing it, think on these things. I have deliverance, the deliverance that from the kind of wickedness that's here in this first part. I have deliverance because Jesus has delivered me. Psalm 140a.